What's that? What's that song called?
Seven Nation Army.
Ugh.
Couldn't hold me back.
That's Seven Nation Army.
So was Jack White? Was he black and then got a lot of operations and turned white?
Well, it was after he did that. What was that big song? It was after Thriller.
Yeah.
And Beat It.
And,
Bad. And then he and then he turned. Then he became Jack White.
Oh, that's right. Cause I'm black. I'm black. Come on.
Yeah, I in a band with my sister. That whole thing.
That's right. And that's why she was so prominent.
Exactly, because of the Jackson 5.
Yeah, exactly. She was just there for the BBC. She couldn't play the drums, but she could take BBC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I haven't got my wires crossed, have I?
No. Well, it's true about a lot of things because that's why there's so many blacked stars.
Oh, that's right.
Like, they're very famous.
Rest in peace, August Amez. Speaking of black.
Did we do that? We do her?
Yeah, remember, she was licking black asshole.
That's right, yeah, we did.
It was like
we did that.
It was a beautiful tribute video.
I get confused about...
A compilation.
Sometimes it's... If we did something on the show or if it was actually just...
No, that was on the show. That was on the great Adam Unpleasant with Adam and Milt.
Speaking of... all right, welcome... To Unpleasant. We're here with five-star Adam Jacobson. I am Milk, the Steady Eddie of Wagga Wagga and the Kanye West of the Riverina. Here to talk exclusively about black stars in music and in the specific circumstance of them transitioning into white. So we're going to do a whole show about that.
And
no, we're not.
But the obvious place to start is with Jack Black.
Yeah, of course.
Who was, of course, black.
Mm.
And then he started a band called The White Stripes and thought, I'll have to be white now.
And then he changed. Well, you've got to change the direction. That's one of the things. You know, we talk about Ricky Gervais a lot. We admire him. And he says, fail, you know, give up your dreams, fail at your dreams. He gave up on being black and he decided... It would be white, and he was Jack White, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because now James Hetfield from Megadeth talks about him.
In high regard, too.
Yeah.
Might I add.
On the Joe Rogan Experience, he's talked about how much he likes School of Rock.
Oh, that's right. Joe's a little white man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Short little bulbous headed.
The internet loves Joe Rogan being short. It's great.
Well, they have to because he's good at so many other things.
Yeah.
Wow, well, at least you're short, you little short kid.
It is. That's the balance of life. Same as, what's his name? Very, very black, very renowned, funny guy. Kevin Hart. That guy.
Oh, yeah, Kevin James.
Yep.
Yeah. Kevin Hart.
King of Bronx.
Yeah, I think so. With that woman from...
King of Harlem. That's the black
with thing. The Scientologist lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the murderer.
Jerry Stiller.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Oh, the murderer. Yes, of course.
Yeah. That's where the one thing where we're not joking about is...
The son of Sam, if you will.
Yes. Remember Kramer had son of Dad... That's what he wanted to name the serial killer.
Son of Dad.
Genius.
It's been like a lifetime since I've watched Seinfeld. I think I should do the rewatch from start to finish.
Yeah, do it. And it's interesting to we've talked about this. This is one of those things where we talk about in our private life. We're going to need to bring this one in so that you're on board with our thinking. It's good to. It sounds psychotic to rewatch things. Like on the outside, it does, but I just do it naturally. So I've got to just defend it somehow, I guess. Mm. So the way I justify it is, when you change throughout time, you know, a year later, 2 years later, you should be able to look back and go, "All right, what did I like about it at the time, and what has changed.
Yeah.
Was it as good as I thought, or did it just trick me in a way? Mm. Not trick you, but did the good parts just highlight so much that you didn't see any of the bad?
I find that a bit hard for me personally, because generally what I like about a film is like just the feel of the film.
Yeah.
That you can't really describe. Like No Country for Old Men, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole way every scene feels in that movie is why I like it so much. But I can't really describe what it is that I like about it. Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I do, because it's one of those weird things that's... It's a very broad concept, but at the same time, it's very singular. Mm. And you're right. It is just about that scene. And that's the same thing Kubrick did, where he made every scene. You will watch Marvel movies and the scenes are really quick. They're like, sometimes they're only like 40 seconds long. They don't let a scene go on longer than 2 or 3 minutes before they go to a new location.
Very busy.
And it's to keep your attention there. And a movie that doesn't try to, because that's the thing, if they're quick movies, they're not trying to get too deep.
Yeah.
But if a film that's not scared to bring you in, and like there are short scenes in No Country for Old Men, but some of them are very long, and it's done to, I think it's done to create a world. Like they've actually put effort in so that everything that you are absorbing is part of that world. And so you've no scenes wasted. You know that, like, what's his name? Roger Deakins, I think is his name. He's the director of photography for all of the good Coen Brothers movies.
Okay.
Fargo, No Country for Old Men, whatever. And you'll just notice it. You'll see the films that he did and what they didn't do. And every shot is just, like, he gets paid 40% more than, like, the next best director of photography.
Mm.
Just crazy money.
Another movie that did it for me, I can't remember what it was called, you'll remember. Thomas Jane was in it. It was set in like the frontier era. I think he kills his wife.
Oh yeah, 1922.
Yeah,
is that the one you're talking about?
I'm not. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, where him and his son.
It's him and his son, and he tears the house apart looking for money.
Yeah.
That he knows that she's stashed.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he's reading a book, but you can tell that there's just so much tension built up in him.
Yeah.
That he's like, I might kill my son because he's going to... Oh, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is what really hooks me in.
But that's where, like, it is. It's about more than just what you... It's about the scene before it. It's about all of those things.
Yeah.
And then when you watch it in a few years' time, it might be about something entirely different.
Mm.
But the thing is, if the quality is there, if they've put the effort in that initial creation, like when they've first put it in, that's how movies stay relevant. Like, that's why there was a screening of 2001 A Space Odyssey last weekend around the corner. Like, and that was released in 1963, I think, 63 or 64. And people are still, that was a weekend screening.
Yeah.
They did it for several days. Like, that's crazy to think about. And so it's remained relevant. It's dated because it's very slow, all that kind of thing. But...
Because the technology's dated.
Yes, yeah.
Simple, I mean.
But the fact is that they put the effort in at the time to create something so well that now it's like a little... You step back in time almost to go, all right, how did this make a splash?
Yeah.
But like if you're rewatching Seinfeld, you'll notice some like subtler things. You'll notice a big change between season 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember I thought like 8 and 9 from my memory.
Yeah, they were the big,
9 especially.
Yeah.
Just an enormous departure.
It's really sitcom kind of thing there. I think Peak was still
enjoyable at times.
Yeah.
But
it's really funny still, but it's not.
Like the Merv Griffin episode.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's ludicrous.
But it's over the top.
Yeah.
But like season 5 and 6. Of Seinfeld, which just, they just hit the spot.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But
just us talking about what we like.
Well, that's pretty much all it should be, I think. Yeah, what we like and what we don't like. Well, that's it. We remember we talked about it last time. We're like,
yeah, sometimes we focus on things that we don't like too much.
Yeah.
Like Jim Jefferies and pedophiles and stuff. And we don't always want to talk about that.
Yeah, we've got to make sure that there's an overall, like, especially we want to start it with that.
Yeah,
and then when we get into the tail end of the show, we really dig into what pieces of shit we are and just how we hate every single thing.
Yeah, it's got to degrade. It can't start there.
Yeah.
It's got to start somewhere and then degrade. I like that.
Yeah.
I hope that's not the path I'm following in my real life.
Maybe we should just call it Erosion with Adam and Milk.
Erosion.
Yeah, where we just, it's just slowly chipping away at something and then it just collapses into nothing.
Maybe something more disgusting than erosion. Festering, no.
Yeah, but fester doesn't go anywhere. Fester sort of grows, I think.
Yeah, you're right. What's it called?
Decay? Decaying? Gangrenous decay?
What's it called when you get...
Trench foot?
Oh, when you get bitten by something like a venomous bug or spider or whatever. And your skin starts...
Like Kerry King.
No, Jeff Hanna. Oh, fuck. You got me, you motherfucker. Yeah, necrotizing fasciitis. I mean, it's wordy. It doesn't roll off the tongue. But that's the most extreme one I can think of.
I'm not even going to attempt it. I'm really, that's legitimately me putting up a wall, just not wanting to embarrass myself.
Too hard basket.
Yeah. I'm not going to... I can say necrophilia. That's okay. About as far as I'll go into the necro. If past that point...
Yeah.
It starts getting a little bit...
We shouldn't have acknowledged that we were going to degrade the show because now it's just necrophilia. Well, it's not just necrophilia, is it? But a doctor would probably say I pronounced it wrong. Necrotizing fasciitis, I think it is.
Actually. Oh, okay.
That's not bad from me.
Maybe I'll just call the episode that.
There you go.
That'd be right.
Yeah.
Or just I fuck corpses.
Well, Slayer got away with it.
Yeah.
That's another thing that really stood the test of time, and that's another thing that I like about the band. It's just their overall, the feeling that I get from their music, and it's very sinister, and it's just really been a mainstay of every recording they've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, there's just every, from start to finish of their career, every Slayer song just has a feel that's, I don't know, it's very...
No, you're right.
Very particular to the band.
It's the difference between... like a Metallica to AC/DC and Slayer. Because they're AC/DC, who that's their sound. They've just developed a thing and they're just going to do that to the best that they can consistently.
And they're just playing rock and roll, though.
Mm.
They're not playing any new chords, any new
But that's the same as Slayer. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But they've figured out a little thing and they're like... But it's weird because it starts and they get big. They go, fuck yeah, this is... And they start making it. Yeah. And then people get bored and they go, are you guys going to do something else? And then they just go, nah, this is it.
Man,
like,
we're really good at this.
Yeah.
And we like it.
And eventually it sort of comes back around because it happened with AC/DC. They had a big drop off.
Yeah. And then you listen, what was their most recent album? Was it
Rock or Black Ice? Oh, no, Rock or Bust. You're right.
But I think Black Ice was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I was never a huge AC/DC fan. And then I listened to Black Ice, which was, remember that song Rock and Roll Train?
Yeah.
And you just can't help but going,
it's all right. Yeah,
they've got it. Feels good, man.
Yeah. That's it. They're the best. And you can't... I think that's the difference between a lot of groups and artists. Some do it and people get sick of it and then they'll come to appreciate it again when they're gone.
Yeah.
But when you're part of the story, you want it to change. People get a bit bored and they go, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Slayer just doing the same thing again. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know, but who else can successful... Like that, when you talk about that feeling, that's like... it's like a horror movie or something like that. It's to inspire that in just auditory only. And that's the thing. This is where it's good to listen to shit. Yeah. This is why me and Adam, when we complain about bad podcasts, bad TV shows and all that sort of thing, you've got to have a range there so that you can identify what's good. Because if everything's good, then it's all on the same level. It's all on the same playing field. It's exactly even. So where's your up and down?
You'll never be satisfied either.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
You've got to have... So if you go listen to some shit, you hear, oh, these guys sound like they're trying to be sinister, but this doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. This doesn't... I can see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And when I say it's sort of unexplainable, as in what I like about the movie, like a feel of a song or a band or a movie or whatever, it's hard to explain because it's like a combination of so many different factors.
Yeah.
So with Slayer, it's like their tone, the key that they're playing in, the interplay... It's so many different things that create this overall experience that you can't really
Yeah, to break it down, you'd have to go, all right, so it's about this range here, which they can, which they reside in for this particular tone for the bass. Yeah. And then it's and you can just go on and on and on. Yeah. But it's the same thing. Yeah, like you said, with movies, it is that thing. But to me, that just represents a person who's created something and they've just put the work in. They've gone this, that, and they just know. They've got an end product and they go, this just doesn't work. Or it does.
It's not simple to explain. But the reaction that you feel is very simple.
Yeah.
Like it's a very simple emotional response to it.
Yeah.
But to put it all together, very complicated. And I fucking froth it. So that's why I can still listen to Slayer after, like, just recently, just been listening to them nonstop, just going, fuck, this is good. This is so good. And I've heard it 5,000 times. I just like it.
Yeah.
I like the commitment.
It's a tough thing. Like, it's very easy to discount a band like that too, as just like, you know, alternate picking, double kick drums and, you know, and screaming. But
that's too basic, isn't it? That's too basic a summary. You got to look a little bit deeper than those things.
Yeah.
And that's why they can get away with writing songs like Necrophiliac and South of Heaven and Necrophobic. So if they can do it, we can do it. My original point.
Yeah. Anything they can do, I can do better.
I don't think we could start. I don't think our metal band would be as good.
No, probably not.
I don't think we
because
could.
That's the thing. You've also got to be able to be laughed at, and you've got to wear chains
and get head tattoos.
Yeah. See, I'm much more interested in just being able to be a part of society.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas if you want to be in a band, you've kind of got to
be a weird cunt.
Yeah, like go all in, like be that. That's fine.
Yeah, they don't just fit in though, and never would. You know.
Yeah, yeah. You can't just. You're not hanging out with Kerry King.
And that really locks away a lot of potential experiences, I think, for them. I do feel sorry for some people in those positions.
Oh, same.
You know, this was interesting. This fucking blew my mind. So Slayer's original drummer, Dave Lombardo, rejoined after all those years away, did a few albums, did a few tours and stuff, and then left again, obviously. So now he's not with them anymore. And the reason he left is because he found out that he wasn't getting paid as much for the live shows as the rest of the band. So think about this. Think of how highly we've just talked about Slayer. And, I mean, their record speaks for itself, especially in the metal world. How much do you reckon Lombardo was getting paid per show? You think they only tour once a year, really?
I genuinely have no idea how much per show, but, like, percentage, I'd assume it would be, like, there are four members, it would be 25 each, 25% each. I assume that's how it should go.
Yeah. Well, obviously he was getting paid less for his percentage, which is why he left. He was getting $750 a show.
Jeez.
And I don't know why I feel like that seems low, because I'm not a touring musician.
Yeah.
I don't know what they earn, but.
But it does seem low.
It does seem very low.
For a high level.
Yeah.
Band.
Yeah, exactly. Especially you're not touring all year. I mean. It's crazy.
Yeah, it does seem weird.
So is that weird lifestyle that you have to lead, where you're constantly just trotting out the same old answers to media, touring, being away from your family and all that kind of stuff. It's very fucking cool to be producing this stuff, but then you get to that $750. He's at the end of his career. Well, maybe. He's getting older. Now he's just doing side projects and doing whatever he can.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? To not have a semi-normal existence? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, is he getting... He's not even the creative, like, drive behind the band. That's the thing.
Yeah,
he's not like a main songwriter. Yeah. Oof. That'd be weird.
Even though he's one of my favourite drummers and defined their sound in many ways. But that blew my mind when I was reading about that. Just going, fuck, that's...
And that, to me, that comes down to, like... you got to look after your guys. Like, it's a running theme with what we've talked about of just like that sort of know your place. Know your place conjures up like a negative kind of reaction.
Yeah.
But what we mean is...
not like The Rock, know your role, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
It's not quite.
But yeah, know your role. Like,
yeah.
Like, be your part, play your part.
Yeah.
And you decide how big your part is.
Mm.
But I think that's like a thing where if everyone was cool in the band, everyone would know and be comfortable. There wouldn't be a surprise like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it was probably the shock of it which made him go, what the fuck is this?
It wouldn't have felt good.
Yeah.
When you're there too, you're at every show, every rehearsal.
Yeah, you're doing all, yeah.
Completely essential to holding the whole thing together. I mean, yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Would feel pretty shit.
See, and you don't see stuff like that. This is where it's, again, it's good to know the like lower levels of a thing just because you've got a good gauge of, you know, variation. But Clutch are a low-level band, but they've been together for over 25 years, maybe 30, I don't know.
Yeah.
But all original members.
Yeah, okay.
All cool. Everyone plays their part.
That's unheard of.
Yeah,
in bands that are still around.
It's very weird. That's what I mean. Like, I think there's something to that in that. And if you watch their live show, you'll see it.
Yeah.
You'll see Neil is the leader, the singer. The guitarist and bass player don't move. They don't do a thing.
Yeah.
They just play their parts, but they do it really fucking well.
Like wear a hat and just covers his face. And
yeah, he's got a hat pulled down.
I would not recognize him if I walked past
him. He doesn't look like a rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about it even more is that he's not obsessed with... I like guys who do an image. I like that. Like we watched a little clip of whoever it was on Rogan the other day.
Shooter Jennings.
Yeah, I don't even know who that
not
guy is.
Not his birth name, I'm sure.
We'll call him Little Shooter. Well, why are you jacking him off? Just stop doing that to a baby. You wouldn't be shooting so much. Fucking pedos. but yeah, if you watch their... Sorry, I like the image.
Yeah, and he's wearing his sunnies inside.
Yeah, and he's got all just like shit,
rock
you know,
and
those,
roll tattoos.
And yeah, things on his wrists like and like an open shirt and all that.
A street person, he looks like. A tramp.
But that's like, yeah, that's it. I like that image because you've committed to the role then.
Mm.
If you don't commit to the role that far, your product, your output as a musician needs to be top notch then.
Yeah.
Needs to be absolutely the best. And as guitarists and a bass player, they're not doing anything crazy new. They're not doing anything crazy hard in like, this is impossible. Nobody can do this, but it's high level.
Yeah.
It's consistent.
Top shelf.
And it's just a little bit weird. It's a little bit off, a little bit out of normal. And for that, I guess they get away with it because he doesn't look rock and roll. He doesn't act rock and roll, but his thing allows Neil to be the rock and roll guy.
Yeah. I think Thin Lizzy still tour with no original members.
That's weird. That's like a franchise.
Yeah, and especially because Phil Lynott died so long ago and he was the leader. Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even more bizarre if you want to go and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll go see this tribute act for extra like $40 because it's still kind of Thin Lizzy. Like when I say no original members, I mean maybe there's still a guitarist that joined the band reasonably early.
Yeah, but
it's not
still
Thin
not.
Lizzy.
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
Yeah,
like Gene Simmons has talked about that too. Like the band, like Kiss being a thing after they're all dead, and I'm just like, this is fucking weird.
Gene Simmons is touring Australia.
Is he?
Yeah.
As with the band?
As like, Gene playing Kiss songs.
Oh, okay.
It's not the saddest thing I've ever heard. It's pretty sad. But the saddest thing was Guns N' Roses, original drummer, Steven Adler, absolute drug addict and ruined himself physically and mentally, sort of.
You've got me. Yeah. I'm in.
Booted from the band after Appetite for Destruction being their biggest album. And then they got Matt Sorum, and he played on Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. All, you know, he was there through all their big, huge success. And Steven Adler could just never let it go and would openly criticise Matt Sorum's drumming. Like, he said the drum fills in November Rain were too simple. I'm like, if you're going to attack a song, November Rain's not the one to attack. It was like the first song to exceed 1 billion views, like the first American song, something like that.
Yeah, it's bad optics. Yeah. You're not going to win people over to your argument with that because, yeah, your just natural instinct is to defend it.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because that's the one that's going to connect with the most people.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so I couldn't let it go. And a few years ago, as an old, frail man, formed some sort of band called Adler's Appetite and just toured playing Appetite for Destruction.
Oh.
But they were essentially the backing band for him. And, I mean, the drums in... They're just basic rock and roll drums. It's not like he's putting on a clinic.
Yeah,
and toured that.
That is pretty sad.
Yeah.
That's bringing me down, man.
And I think, like, his mum wrote a book... Like, about what it was like to be his mum and stuff. He was just on one. Like,
yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to hear about. And it's, I guess, there's depressing. People out there that support him, but.
But that's. I wouldn't be comfortable being supported for that. Like, that's. Well, that's weird. You can't. You can't just, like, live off that moment from the past.
Yeah. No matter how good it was.
That's fucking bizarre.
You can sort of, in a way, if you just sort of take it in your stride. Because then if you're a cool dude already, also saying, by the way, I was the drummer on Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, but like you gotta fall and rise again. You can't just go, no, this is it, and then just stay on that spot.
Hold on
that's
to it. Yeah.
Whew.
So that's what Adler's, when we talk about having a scope, that's why it's really good to admire artists. But just be aware that it's not like you think it is.
It's what's his name? Chuck Palahniuk, the author of Fight Club, was on Joe Rogan's podcast this week, and it was a really good listen. It was one of the more interesting ones because he's an interesting guy, and I like a self awareness in like a creative person, in a musician or an author or anybody, if they've got an awareness of. How a film, like, I've been thinking about it a bit. We've talked about this, actually. If anyone's seen it, The Machinist with Christian Bale, it's the role, everyone's seen the image of Christian Bale looking skinny as fuck, just anorexic. And he lost all the weight for that movie. And the twist in the movie, which I'm going to ruin because if you haven't seen it, it's not worth it now. It's just not. It's 2018.
Exactly. There's too many movies have come out.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And he's skinny as fuck. And the reveal in the movie is he's getting taunted by this guy at his work. And the guy at his work is just a figment of his imagination. It's him doing all this bad stuff.
Yep.
And it came out a few months after Fight Club. And that's just, and that says something that is like, oh, well, their society isn't ready. It was ready for that idea. And we absorbed it, but now we can't. It's not going to have the same impact again. We've had that. It's like they haven't really been able to do The Usual Suspects. The ending for that movie again. Sixth Sense is a good example because people heard about that ending before they'd even seen the movie.
Yeah.
So that idea, like it has an impact. So people, I like an artist who's aware of that sort of thing, and they go, "This just isn't going to work now." It's like the Ocean's 8. Movie, like the women's, surely after the Ghostbusters thing.
Exactly what I was about to bring up, yep.
Yeah, they should have just went, this is not the time.
This is just not, or just not the right path.
Yeah, like if they really wanted to do it, they go, all right, we're going to hold on to this for a few years, we're going to work on it until all this stuff, this like fire dies down a bit around having a like all-female movie because we're going to get looked at under the microscope no matter what.
Yeah.
If they just had that awareness...
Why remake a movie that already has a massive established identity?
So that's exactly the reason they are. That's the most fucked up part. It's got an established identity. It's a brand that they can latch onto.
People like it.
Yeah.
People are fond of it at the very least, just because it's a classic, you know, in that kind of sense.
And that's exactly why. If that's the reason... Why is that's not really a reason? Oh, because they can make some money off of it. Oh, okay. And that's what it, like, awareness. Just please be fucking aware. Because if you're a feminist and your thing is women are better than men, which I don't think most feminists are. I don't think that they believe that, I mean. I think most feminists do want just equal things.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah, whatever. But if you're a feminist who is anti-men and wants to really prove a point and all that sort of thing, don't you then not want to be exploited? Don't you want to not be exploited to hurt your cause, which will be the end result, and then make money for other people who are investing in the movie, not for any creative output or to create something that's good and interesting.
And beneficial to the cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, at all.
But their interest is money only. Wouldn't you want to... Like, that's where my mind gets blown when I see this shit. I just I have no fucking idea how it gets made. With the money that goes into them too. Fucking unbelievable. Just...
No effort.
I don't understand.
Really, they just don't make any effort. They've got talented people that work on it and around it, but they just scrape. Why go for a home run when you can get the job done with a hit?
Yeah.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah. Hollywood, baby.
And fucking children as
well. Yeah, yeah. The pedos. Pedo-wood Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hollywood pedophiles.
And there you go. It's just...
Always comes back to pedos.
It has to.
We can't help it.
Until we get a letter.
There won't be a letter. It'll be a knock.
Yeah. People will know because we'll just never mention it again suddenly. Start talking really fondly about Tom Cruise.
Well, that's who it'll be. It'll be the Scientologists.
No, it won't. It'll be the government.
Man, the government's going to be Scientology. They're buying up all the land.
The government couldn't even bring us a fucking census form. They're probably so far removed from us, it's ridiculous.
Actually, that's a good example. The local rubbish. This sounds like a shit story.
We're off the grid here at Adam and Milk. We're coming to you off the grid. Unpleasant.
Off the grid. All right. This sounds like a shit story, but I've got a point.
That's what we call the podcast instead of necrotizing fasciitis.
Yeah.
What you just said.
I've got a shit story, but but it has a point.
Yeah.
I've got a shit body, but it has a point.
It's a chode. There's a
local. I think they've changed the bin system, so there's three bins. One is for like food and all that sort of rubbish, and one's actual rubbish for like. One goes to landfill, one goes to like a food recycling compost, and the other one goes to like cardboard, glass recycling, whatever it is. And they brought this in, and people's bins aren't getting picked up. The rubbish, the food one gets picked up every fortnight, so that's just like food just rotting. The bags. You can't just have regular biodegradable bags. You need compost bags, which not even a lot of places carry them. So that's a government-run thing, and it's just shit. It's not working at all. Woolworths and Coles got rid of plastic bags, the two biggest supermarkets. They've got bags. They've got cardboard boxes in the aisle for you to just take shit if you need to. Mm. Yeah, they sell bags there. It's pure access to it. And I don't want to defend either of those cunt corporations, but why is their scheme to both are environmental schemes? Why is their scheme working and the other one not?
Mm.
To me, the only difference is one's a private venture and one's a public, and the public ventures don't really work that well because people just, we're getting money from a government, and a government, we don't think of it as everybody's money.
Yeah.
We just go, we'll just take advantage of this because they've got heaps.
And one makes money. Being the private venture, being Woolworths, who, and you say, how do they? Well, they make money because they charge for bags now.
Yeah, exactly. And they make the bags.
Yeah. And they have the good image of getting rid of plastic. The government don't make money. They get funding that they'll find ways to spend, whether it really works or not. Because they know they're going to get funding next year to try and fix it.
Exactly. People who are trying to have a job.
Justify roles. Yeah.
It's like, I was surprised. I don't watch too much TV, but I saw an ad for, what was it? It was Controversy Corner. It was on after the football. Yeah. And
with Blocker Roach.
the ad was like, that's a good one. but that's like controversy corner, and you go, okay, so what if there's no controversy that week? Okay, so you just, okay, so you, oh, it's a bad thing and the whole thing's a mess, but you're allowed to make money off of it. Yeah. It's like people who go, fuck Donald Trump shirts and all that sort of stuff. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is horrible and you think this is the worst thing ever, but yeah, you're selling a shirt to make money off of this horrible thing.
And yeah, and that happens on both sides too.
Oh, yeah.
Milo Yiannopoulos selling Trump Hollywood Walk of Fame stars because, you know, they pulled up his star and now everyone on that side's going to be like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to buy this. But it's just someone making money.
Yeah.
Someone who's within the field going, right, I can make money.
He's a way
this
to...
This way now.
Yeah.
Until the next time that I can...
Yeah, exactly. They're like, so we need... Yeah, we got to be like... We got to be skeptical of these kinds.
It's all around us.
Yeah.
It is all around us.
Is it that bad or is it bad enough for you to try and just turn a profit and that's... Like, I don't know. I get... Just get confused.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like while I'm here, I may as well fucking make a quid off these plebeians.
But that's what I mean. Like, and okay, so nothing really bad happened this week. So are you going to look at it? Are you going to look at scrutinize a little bit more? Are you going to get a little bit harsher and then start pulling it apart? So it's
yeah.
Oh, so you need to do that because you need to fill hours because you've got a contract. Oh, so the controversy thing isn't really about it being controversial. It's just about making
making
money for yourselves.
It's clickbait. In television.
It's a shame. But I saw an interesting point earlier today. It was, did you notice how the moment people started pulling at the frayed edges of the, I guess it was the journalism and how journalism started to, you know, come apart lately. People are really skeptical.
Yeah. Fake news era.
But did you notice how much juicier the articles have gotten? How much just in the last few years we've just started really picking up on all these weird little things.
Yeah.
And it's way more. And you start to go, oh, fuck, that's desperation.
Yeah.
That's we need to be relevant.
Because it's the publications that you did enjoy. And that's why you notice it, because you used to enjoy them because they were good. And now they're also like Vice.
Mm.
Vice was great.
Yeah, Vice is a good example. I tapped out of Vice.
Yeah.
Well, you because did the I'm right thing. Because I'm fucking cool.
Yeah.
I tapped out of Vice years ago.
Good man. You fucking what are they? You periscoped it.
Mm.
I just don't tap out because I just want to see how lazy they can get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny.
It's bad. And you realize you're not the only person doing it, and you're going through and you see there's just people commenting, just hating on it. And then I kind of agree with them because just on my gut. My gut says, I'm on their side. I agree with them, but they're feeding it.
Yeah, they're still getting all the same amount of interaction,
yeah,
if not more.
Yeah. The only way to really have impact is to starve them.
Away.
Starve them of that thing. Because like you're only... your only recourse really, like the people who complain about restaurants and things like that and try and get people shut down, you're trying to control other people's thing, and that's where I get a bit weird. Don't tell other people to not do things. Anyway, but you're really, the only thing you can do is leave yourself.
Yeah, just leave it behind.
Yeah, yeah. And move on. Like you only have control over yourself, so you just work with that. But these... When they're publishing that shit and the temptation is there constantly. Like I saw a thing, it was, meet Mr. Whatever, the undisputed king of Twitter.
Mm.
And I just immediately wanted to go, never heard of him, disputed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm then just engaging in that. I'm just keeping that going longer.
You're keeping the cycle going.
Yeah.
And because it is so easy, and especially if like 1,000 people thought that were funny and liked it.
Yeah.
And then it starts, it's something else altogether.
That's why I don't believe half the controversy articles anymore.
Yeah.
Where they're like, would you believe that this university is punishing these people for their free speech? And I'm like, I don't know if even that's fucking real. Like, it sounds like the kind of thing I'd get annoyed at, but
it's too suspicious.
Exactly. If that's my gut reaction, that means probably they wanted that. When they wrote that headline, they wanted a person like me to get that reaction and go, fuck it, what are these people doing? Who are they treading on?
Yeah, and exactly. That's part one. You get that reaction and then they just hope that you follow through on part two.
Yeah, and we click it, then we look through our ads.
Yep. Inevitable.
Just all trying to sell stuff to you constantly. Now, speaking of, we will try and sell stuff to you, but it will be good things. Things that we like, things that we approve of. We've actually been asked before about shirts because me and Adam have Adam and Milk shirts, but their quality isn't up to par. It's not something. See, you'll notice people, especially our level, like low level entertainment, people flog off whatever they can. Yeah, they go to one of those shirt printing sites.
And then it's over, isn't it?
I think it is. They creatively, yeah.
Yeah,
they've gunned down because you are just trying to make a profit, so they go to the cheapest shirt option. Mm. They upload their design and they don't order one for themselves to go, all right, is this something that I would wear?
Yeah,
and if they go, oh, you know, I wear that stuff all the time. Okay, well, you dress like shit. You do it on YouTube. Like, I see your show. I can tell you dress like shit because you're dressing in a graphic tee and you're 34 years old. Mm. And which is fine, but if you're doing a show,
yeah, that you want to make money on,
yeah, like you got to invest in that. Like you need to invest in every little part of it. It's like this is we're fucking just switched on blokes. So this all ties in with what we were talking about earlier, with that feeling, that vibe that you get from like a movie or a TV show, something like that. And that's what it is to me. It's like they've invested in every little part of it, to create a reaction. They've invested in all of that to go, all right, we want to create suspense or horror, but we want to make you think, we want you to be in this character's head in this scene. What is this guy talking about?
What should be uneasy?
And so they've invested. They've had to make sure that everything points towards that
without
answer.
Fucking holding, pushing you there.
Yeah.
Without shoving you there.
Like Christopher Nolan does in everything.
Yeah.
I love a lot of his movies, but fucking Interstellar stinks.
Yeah, it was really bad. Oh, I laughed out loud. Yeah. I don't want to be that person, but I mean, it was really bad. It was really laughable.
It was. It was fucking terrible. Just so on the nose. I can't get over that idea of, but it's the one thing that can transcend time and space and gravity. Love.
It's love. Oh
shut up.
I hope no one's enjoyment of that film climaxed. Like when they said that and someone just went, I hope that didn't happen.
Those people don't exist. They can't.
I really hope
they can't. If they do exist, I'm calling jihad. We're doing a jihad on those people.
Yep.
So these people, you got to invest in your thing. You'll notice our show sounds better. And that's because we're investing back into it. We need to make it, we need to constantly be making it better. And it is getting better. And we're working on making the microphone sound better. We're working on all of that kind of thing. So these people are trying to sell shit. So they've already plateaued. What if we do start selling things, which we will start selling merch, we will start selling shirts specifically.
Sick merch.
Yeah, just great things.
It will be the best merch.
It will be.
You can buy though.
Why would you buy from anyone who says otherwise?
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, I don't really care how I dress. Oh, okay. So you don't care how you dress, but you're willing to sell clothes.
Yeah.
so you're not
in the game, but you're in the game.
Yeah, you're in it to make the money. I would only want to sell stuff that we would like ourselves. The same thing, we want to make a show that we would listen to. So we're going to work. We're working on that. We've got a design, and it's a great design because it's the opposite of peak. It's Valley Adam.
Valley Adam, I like it.
Where just after just days of drinking, and just a like bit of paint still on his face, no shower,
bit of a puffy head.
Yeah, a bit puffed. We were all a bit puffed up, you know.
Puffy.
And you have a cigar, a very small cigar in your mouth, and you just don't look well. Adam doesn't. And you know what? He turned around and I laughed in his face, and he asked me why, and I was like, "You just looked, just the how you look." And he told me, pointed to my pocket, said, "Pull out your phone and take a photo and show this to me tomorrow." Because this is it. This needs to be the worst it gets. You need to get, this needs to be a tipping point for me. All right, now I'm probably getting a bit away with the language, but I don't really remember exactly what he said, but it was along those lines. So I did, and that is the image that we're going to use. We're going to use that on the back, I think. and just have the white text over the top saying, be better than this, because that's what we all want to be. We want to be better. And Adam identified a moment and went, no, this needs to get better from you. And it has. So we've this is like a representation kind of thing. And so, and we won't even put like an Adam and Milk name on there. We won't say Adam and Milk. We might do the logo on the front, pocket area, not where a pocket will be, but like this will be a T.
Yeah, won't be a focal point.
Yeah, it'll be just a little beard, little hair thing.
Little thick eyebrows.
Yeah, exactly right. And we won't have the Adam and Milk thing there because it. We'll use the logo, but not the name, because like it, there's something happened in the last 30 years, 20 years over this time period where brands really started to establish themselves as we are the brand, we are the best, the top ones, the quality brands.
The benchmark.
And then they just started going, we are, the name is the ad now. Yeah. And so instead of just having a good shirt on.
Good product.
Yeah, where somebody will go, I really like your shirt. And you go, oh yeah, it's actually a Ben Sherman from whatever, or it's actually Calvin Klein thing, whatever. Because Ben Sherman was the one that really stood out to me. I'm just like, wait, it just says Ben Sherman on this.
Mm.
Do they not remember the Sherman tanks were fucking us up? Like they were bad, and we're just going bench anyway. Yeah. And I think it was weird that we started having, oh yeah, this is now what makes this shirt cool.
Yeah.
Nah, we need to get away from that. We need to turn completely back so that we don't have just low. We're just an ad. You're a walking ad. Yeah. But if you're actually, if the quality's there and if you're a switched on person, you just got to go, oh, that's actually pretty nice.
Yeah. And I can identify out. Quality.
Yes.
I can tell you various reasons why.
And I won't just be wearing shit.
Yeah. And you're like, it's with advertisements, it's just people doing things. The product's usually not even in the ad. And then the name comes and you're like, well, you can just be sure that this is what you want. Doesn't matter what the product is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, it does.
Especially if you want to make cash in hand.
Well, that's it. We won't be the ones who are just trying to make maximum profit off of just selling the shit either. We want to sell cool stuff.
Especially when we have a very intelligent, very patient audience.
Yes, they have to be patient. They have to listen to me. Just lose track of my thoughts constantly. It's bizarre.
It's a funny document. I mean, at some point in what we do, we'll look back on these times and it'll be an interesting document
on what
we were doing, what we were thinking.
I hope it's just not like evidence collecting as I lose my mind. That's this weird fear that I have where I'll just be in an insane asylum one day and there's just going to be doctors just listening to this going, all these warning signs.
Imagine the subreddits.
Oh, God.
Hopefully I don't lose my mind and then I can...
You can offer insight.
Yeah, yeah. I can compile it and make money off it.
Exactly.
Exactly. I'll set you up a nice little estate or something. But
yeah, just enough for the doctors to look after me.
Yeah, I'll enough be happy. For fucking 3 square meals a day.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Doctors, give me a wank pillow. I'm good.
Yeah, a few fucking films. You like them, don't you? Yeah. Hey, you watch films all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch Full Metal Jacket for the 1,000th time, you little freak.
You might find something new, mate. Take some notes. All right, I'll see you next year.
Do you want me to trim your beard while you're watching? No. This noise distracts you? Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, it's all right. That's fine. You don't like the noise of the Clippers? No.
Put your big cock away. Stop fucking flapping that thing around, all right? The nurses don't like it.
It's all I'd Watch have. It's all I'd have. All right. Anyway, I hope I don't lose my mind. I hope that doesn't...
Yeah, fingers crossed.
It's a good thing I don't believe in manifest destiny. Otherwise, I'm just manifesting my own insanity.
Yeah. But you must on some level because you were telling me earlier that when you're... Like if you're walking alone, you don't think about it because then you do give off signs, don't you?
Yeah.
If you feel panicky, you probably look panicky too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't want to manifest that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I do live a little like that.
Everyone's contradictory.
Yeah.
It's just whatever works for you at the time.
Yeah, really, yeah. We're just going moment to moment. It was an interesting thought, though. It's like every day you reinvent yourself. You're just, every single day is who you are.
Mm.
And yesterday, no. Nah,
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Good attitude to try and not hold grudges. I mean,
yeah,
certain
yeah.
things. Like, not, let's say, I'm being general.
Do not adopt that way of thinking if you are a rapist.
No, you can't.
You can't be doing that.
You have, yeah. Yeah, we need to... You need some time out in the services.
Yeah.
You
know? Like, it's okay if you just had a rough day, like you dropped some stuff at work and it broke yesterday. It's all right. You can reinvent yourself today. You can't just have a rape and then just go, oh, no, I'll improve on that tomorrow. I'll be right.
Yeah. I'll reinvent myself every day. Good night.
I'll go seal one up instead. There we go. Reinvent myself. What? All right, I'm gonna go piss, and yeah. We'll pause this shit.
Yeah, pause it for me.
We'll do a part two. Fuck it, we'll come back soon. Bye bye. Love you.